You found it. The best place for live, local, conservative talk in the morning. The Commute with Carlson. Stimulating, entertaining, and making a difference. Here's John Carlson on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Okay, did you hear about this? Philip J. Vandervoort III just passing our desk.
Quite likely I did. But
the Kitsap Ferry's 6 o'clock sailing from Seattle delayed due to heavy fog.
That's right, yeah. You knew it was bad on the roads.
Yes. This will delay the 7:20 sailing from Bremerton and the 8:30 sailing from Seattle as well.
Don't the boats have radar or something like that? Or
so, well, no, but here's the irony.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the first day that enough ferry workers actually showed up on time for work, and they can't get the ferry boats going because of the fog.
You know, it's probably planned that way. If I can be the conspiracy theorist here, they're like, well, I don't want to call into work on a day when it's going to be foggy. There's a good chance we might not take the boat across the water.
That's right. I don't want to just sit around doing nothing, yeah. You know, like the customers who are waiting for the
yeah.
ferry. Oh, I got to wait for two more ferries?
Yeah.
See if someone will finally show up for work?
We can hang out at the dock and have more coffee.
Okay. Let us go to NBC's Tom Costello. Because the story broke last night, you probably woke up hearing the news that the individual mandate, delaying the individual mandate, the requirement that everyone sign up and have life insurance, that was so completely unalterably unacceptable when Republicans were proposing it, is now something that the administration has acknowledged it's going to do.
The White House tells NBC News that it plans to move the penalty deadline for individuals to be required to buy health insurance by as much as 6 weeks. As the law stands right now, to avoid a tax penalty, the uninsured need to start the process by February 15th. With this change, the administration is trying to allow people to buy insurance all the way up to March 31st to avoid that penalty. Meanwhile, the work to fix the website is a top priority. 23 days into a very rocky rollout for the Affordable Care Act, CEOs from the country's top insurance companies were today troubleshooting at the White House as the website problems persist.
We would start filling out the application through paper and pen, if anything.
Today, we return to a Miami clinic where 1,000 people have tried to enroll. So far, only 5 applications have gone through.
We're going to try again to get them through the system. If that's still not working, we're going to have them either fill out a paper application or apply over the phone.
Now, of course, defenders of the administration will say, the Republicans wanted to delay it for a year, and we know what their real motive is to eventually defund the program altogether. We're just delaying it for, 6 weeks, really. You think it's going to stop there? You don't think that they're going to extend it again and again? See, for one thing, even if they did want to delay it for a year, there's no way they could agree to it because they wouldn't want to be seen as doing anything that a Republican was actually suggesting. What I can't figure out, though, is that they had to have known. I mean, they can't be this incompetent. They had to have known that it wasn't ready to roll out. I mean, this is Obama's signature achievement of his first term is passing Obamacare. The second term is starting Obamacare. So, I mean, you know he had to have had meetings, you know, bringing in the heads of the Medicare program, Medicaid, Kathleen Sebelius from Health and Human Services, say, okay, well, let's see. We got a October 1st rollout date. How are we doing? Are we set to roll on October 1st? You know they had to have these meetings. You know the president had to know about this. And he had to have known it months in advance that they weren't ready to go. So when the Republicans started talking about delaying the individual mandate as a condition to keeping the government open and then later on to reopening the government when there was the partial shutdown, that was the clear running field for Obama to say, you know what? I shall meet the Republicans halfway. I will be high-minded and statesmanlike enough to reach across the aisle and shake hands on a deal to delay the individual mandate for a year, just as I have unilaterally made that choice regarding the employer mandate. And he would have covered himself. But I'll tell you something. This man is so small-minded, so partisan, so ideologically frigid that there is no way he was going to agree to an idea, no matter how sensible it was, because it came from them, because it came from the Republicans over there. And so as a consequence, they insisted on the October 1st rollout. And what a disaster. Here is his former spokesman, Robert Gibbs. He's on MSNBC. I think he was talking to Willie Geist at the time.
We've seen report after report from tech experts who worked on the project who said there were problems. There were problems. And we told the White House about the problems. And they went forward anyway. When does the White House step up and take a little more responsibility for what happened here?
Well, I think they did that with the president in the Rose Garden. And I think the reason it defies belief, Willie, is it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind that people at HHS and involved in this project, as you said, knew this wasn't going to work. I mean, it's inconceivable that no one tested it.
That is why so many people now surmise that they rolled it out on purpose to have that be the lead story so that the sticker shock of learning that your insurance premium, that's the monthly amount you pay your insurance company, or your deductible, the amount you have to pay out of pocket for medical expenses before your insurance policy kicks in, or your copay, the proportion of the bill that you have to pay once your insurance policy kicks in, see how high it was going to go. And, you know, it was just last week I was talking to Congressman Denny Heck and said, you know, the delay in the individual mandate just makes sense. And Denny was just having none of it. He said, yes, there are problems. Yes, there are things we need to do, but we don't need to delay the rollout. Given what we now know about the sheer vastness and magnitude of the problems, the fact that Kathleen Sebelius was still pushing a rollout, and by the way, here's my prediction, Phil, she will not lose her job.
You know, I've been a little surprised to see that that's the conjecture on any number of political news-oriented websites, is that she won't get fired for this.
And I'll tell you why I don't think she'll be fired for it. Because she's protecting Obama. She's already publicly said he had no idea that there are these problems. How could he not know? Let's pretend.
How do you not? You know that all these problems are happening behind the scenes. They had test runs and it crashed when 100 or 200, something along those lines. I think that's the number that's been reported so far. A small amount of people using this site was crashing it before the October 1st rollout, and she chooses to say nothing to her boss?
See, I don't believe she said nothing.
Yeah.
How could she have said nothing? How could Obama not show any interest in either he was really not interested in the rollout, which makes him
poor manager.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. To say that he's deleterious, to say that he's just not doing his job would be an understatement at that time. But that would just be sheer neglect. Or the other is that he knew it and he said good because it will disguise the real issue that we're going to have problems with down the line, which is that most people are going to have to pay higher insurance costs, premiums, deductibles, copays.
And that goes back to the grievance I vented with you a little earlier in the show about him boasting about how he would have the most transparent administration.
Even the liberals have given up on that. I mean, even Jill Abramson, New York Times executive editor and, you know, uber liberal. You know, co-authored a book attacking Clarence Thomas. I mean, just, you know, everything the New York liberal establishment loves and that middle America has little use for. Even she said that most secret administration since Nixon.
Yeah. And now you understand why fiscal conservatives which spawned the Tea Party, you know, and the ACA vote in 2009, December of 2009, that led to the Tea Party revolt in the 2010 midterm elections. Now you understand why that frustration led to the advancement of the Tea Party and the formation and the success of the Tea Party, because we just get this nonsense out of more and more and more bigger and bigger government.
Yeah, and let me ask you, by the way, when's the last time you heard anyone complaining or even talking about the partial government shutdown? It's a distant memory growing small in the rearview mirror. People are instead are talking about the issue front and center. Front burner and back burner is Obamacare and what a fiasco it has become. And anyone who is associated with it is in big time trouble in 2014. And anyone who is on record as trying to stop it or trying to delay it or defund it, they will be playing offense. The reason why Obama agreed to this, short delay in the individual mandate is he's trying to stay ahead of trying to keep his own party from dividing over the issue. You hear about Republicans being divided. Republicans aren't divided over Obamacare. They were divided over tactics. On the issue of the individual mandate, there's a difference over policy. The Democrats who are running for re-election, and I'm thinking Gene Shaheen up there in New Hampshire, and Mark Begich in Alaska. You got David Pryor in Arkansas. These guys want a one-year delay in the individual mandate. They don't want Obamacare being an issue in the campaign, so don't make people sign up for it until 2015. And Obama's trying to buy time by starting with March 1st. You know he's going to be extending that. It's inevitable.
Stop it.
Lorraine in Tukwila. So nice to have you here this morning.
Oh, good morning, John. You know, you were talking about how all the insurance premiums were going to go up. And shortly after the ACA was signed, we received a letter. My husband works for Boeing. And it says specifically, due to the Affordable Care Act, your insurance premiums are going up.
Yeah, well, they were just looking at what was in front of them, which is come January 1st, your husband's insurance company. And by the way, that's odd because Boeing self-insures. But
yes.
anyone who approaches them for an insurance policy, they have to write a policy for. And if that person has pre-existing conditions, then that's just tough. They not only have to sell them a policy, they have to sell them a policy for the same rate that they would sell it for anyone else of that same age. So pre-existing conditions, you know, don't matter. So someone else will have to pick up the true cost of that man's insurance. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have to tell you, we were represented then. My husband has since changed jobs within the company, and we are non-represented, so I'm waiting for the shoe to drop.
Oh, so you have to go out and buy an individual policy?
No, we still have insurance, but okay. I'm waiting for another letter saying, okay, you're non-represented, so we're not going to cover you anymore. You're going to have to go on the exchange.
Well, cross your fingers and hope that that doesn't happen. Because the people who are signing up right now, by and large, I'm generalizing a bit, but the clear trend is the people who are signing up are the people who need their medical care paid for, or they need it heavily subsidized. Those are the people who have the greatest incentive to sign up. And so they're the ones who are willing to endure these marathon delays and waits and, you know, get kicked off off the website. So you just log back on again. Those are the people who are signing up. The people who want either free medical care or heavily subsidized medical care who have pre-existing conditions. They got bills to pay. It's coming up here on 19 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning. It's the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Lines open 206-421-5757. Outside King County, 1-888-312-5757. By the way, the prices that are quoted on the exchanges, they are not accurate. They are not true. And they are deliberately designed to mislead people. I'm going to have details for you straight ahead in just a couple of minutes. A great CBS story about this.
Personal accountability spoken here. This is Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Coming up on 825, the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Yes, CBS, to its credit, finds out that the president deliberately misleading, or the administration deliberately misleading people about the price of health insurance policies on their website. Here's what I'm talking about. This is Jan Crawford, CBS News. I think she was on the morning show with Charlie Rose.
CBS News is uncovering a serious pricing problem with healthcare.gov. It stems from the Obama administration's efforts to improve its healthcare website.
And a new online feature can dramatically underestimate the cost of insurance. Jan Crawford is in Washington. Jan, good morning.
Well, Nora and Charlie, the administration announced it would provide a new shop and browse feature on Sunday, but it is not giving consumers the real picture. In some cases, people could end up paying nearly double what they see on the website.
The website has not worked as smoothly as it was supposed to.
As President Obama promises to fix healthcare.gov, his administration is touting what it calls improvements in design, specifically a feature that allows you to see plans now.
Americans across the country can type in their zip code and shop and browse.
But CBS News has learned the new shop and browse feature often comes with the wrong price tags.
Incredibly misleading for people that are trying to get a sense of what they're paying.
Industry analysts like Jonathan Wu point to how the website lumps people only into two broad categories, 49 or under and 50 or older. Prices for everyone in the 49 or under group are based on what a 27-year-old would pay. In the 50 or older group, prices are based on what a 50-year-old would pay. We ran the numbers for a 48-year-old in Charlotte, North Carolina, ineligible for subsidies. According to healthcare.gov, she would pay $231 a month. But the actual plan on Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Carolina's website costs $360, more than a 50% increase. The difference? Blue Cross Blue Shield requests your birthday before providing more accurate estimates. The numbers for older Americans are even more striking. A 62-year-old in Charlotte looking for the same basic plan would get a price estimate on the government website of $394. The actual price is $634. An HHS spokeswoman said it added the shop and browse feature to provide estimates of premiums without tax credits. Chini Krishna's company helped design California's new healthcare exchange website. It requires people to enter their birth dates to get a real price quote.
It's important that users have a proper, trustworthy, honest brand experience when they interact with healthcare.gov. And I think, you know, providing accurate prices is an integral component of that.
Now, industry executives we talked to literally could not believe the government is providing these estimates, which they said were useless and could easily mislead consumers. They also say, Charlie and Nora, that the website repeatedly states the actual prices could be lower, but it makes no mention they could be higher.
Now, if a private company does this, they usually end up having a little chat with the Attorney General's office for misleading customers about price. Can you believe this? That if you're, say, a 62, 63-year-old person and you want to know what insurance is going to cost you, they will quote you the price for a 50-year-old and then will charge you what they would charge a 63-year-old? If you're a 45-year-old person and you ask for how much it would cost for your policy, they quote you the figure for a 27-year-old, but then will bill you for the price of a 45-year-old? This is called bait and switch. This is a time-honored scam. So it's just, it's amazing that they're doing this. By the way, kudos to Jan Crawford for uncovering this. But people are just reacting with utter disbelief. They actually started doing this after things started going topsy-turvy on their website. So this is now what you have. Basically, an administration that is deliberately misleading people by quoting them prices that are almost certainly under what they would otherwise, what they would really be paying for their policy. See, they know the real problem is that most people are going to end up paying more, higher deductibles, higher copays, higher monthly premiums, and they're trying to conceal that information from you.
That settles it. You just got to listen all day. John Carlson.
Either they're so arrogant or they're so blind.
Laura Ingraham.
We're burying logic and common sense.
Glenn Beck.
This is the game the president is playing.
You move. I won't. Mark Levin.
Obama has no problem evading the Constitution.
Lars Larson.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
Michael Savage.
This is not all happening by accident. It's happening by design.
This is Talk Radio 570.